Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Good evening, everybody. I'm having deja vu. It was just over 5 years ago. The most common question I was getting asked was, what's going to happen to Epstein now that he's been arrested? And we know how that turned out. Now the most common question I'm getting asked is, will Diddy survive incarceration, or will he be Epsteined? And we are seeing some parallels. So the basics are, he's in there on a $50 million bond bail. It is a jail that the Epstein jail was closed down and inmates were moved, including Ghislaine Maxwell ended up and R. Kelly ended up in this same jail in Brooklyn because the Epstein jail was closed down. We're at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, was where Epstein, he got suicided on August the 10th, 2019. Can you believe it has been that long? So in this video, we're going to look at some basics. I'm going to go over chapter one of Who Killed Epstein, Prince Andrew or Bill Clinton, my book, because the details in there, you will see all of the parallels with Diddy's case. But the basics are, life is cheap in prison. There are people in prison who will kill you for a $50 wrap of heroin. And if you have committed crimes against women or kids, as soon as you go in, you know, where I was housed in Arizona, the neo-Nazi Aryan Brotherhood gang members come up to me. They said, hey, we want a word of you, come in that cell over there. And they lay down the rules. And one of the rules is, if anyone comes in with a sex offense or a crime against a woman or a child, right away it's KOS, kill on sight, or at least they're going to get a hell of a beat down. And I have written extensively and talked extensively about the prison stories I saw, sex offenders trying to go undercover in general population and the horrendous, horrific things that happened to them. They had it coming. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it, but it was some of the most graphic, gruesome violence I ever personally heard or saw the end results out. People getting carried out. One guy, he was on a stretcher, looked dead, and it wasn't just blood coming out of him. There was yellow stuff coming out of his head, like brain fluid or something coming out of his head. There was another one who had convictions of that nature, and he'd been undercover in the head of the Mexican gang's cell, and they waited. They found out when he went to court. It was on the TV in the day room. He'd molested his niece, and they waited for a guard to do a security walk, and they tortured him for almost 30 minutes. It went from the normal sounds of a man getting smashed to like an animal, like a cat on fire, and then to nothing. And when he came out, he was covered in blood from head to toes. That's called convict justice. So Diddy, his charges are all over the internet. They've got phones quite extensively in prisons now. Some prisons have access to the internet legitimately. Others are just doing it on their phones, their contraband phones. Diddy's charges are everywhere. Anyone who's incarcerated can read them. And if you've got a crime of that nature, you have a huge target on your back. That is one of the basic rules. But there's another prison rule that kind of works in tandem with that rule. and that is the gangs are all about money. So whatever race you are, when you go in, you come under the control of that gang. So where Diddy is, whatever the black prison gang is out there, the shot callers in that gang will have control over him if they can access him in any kind of general population area. Now, when you've got that much money, when you're offering to throw down a $50 million bail bond, you're getting declined. They know he's got access to that kind of money. What they'll do is they'll frighten him and they'll say, look, we can protect you. You've got a sex offender jacket right now. You're not convicted, but the allegations are out there. It's all over the internet. It's KOS for people who've got these kinds of crimes. But we'll protect you right now. You just need to send so much money to this account. And what we saw with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, I have corresponded with people in the Epstein prison, the jail, the Metropolitan Correction Center. I've corresponded with Tartaglione. Do you remember the cop? Multiple murders. Was up for the death penalty. I said, if he didn't get the death penalty, we'll see. Well, Tartaglione recently came out. He did an interview. And he said, when they were questioning him about Epstein, they tried to get Tartaglione to throw Donald Trump under the bus. And they were going to give him some kind of leniency if he threw Trump under the bus. This is how corrupt it all is. So I've corresponded with inmates in these facilities. And I know what it is like. But before I go any further, all my Epstein content was banned from YouTube. I lost my YouTube channel twice over it. And the video that caused it all to start was question 218 on my prison questions playlist. Is Clinton going to do blah, blah, blah to Epstein to avoid the Lolita scandal? Which I believe is what happened a couple of weeks after I posted this video. But I'm going to just show you from 5 years ago. I look thinner. I look more innocent. And I'm going to show you what I said, because what I said in this clip about Jeffrey Epstein is the exact same response as to what I would be saying about Diddy today. Because it all applies, and you'll see the relevancy. And let me see if I can get this on the screen right now. And you can see, some of you will probably remember this from 5 years ago if you've been with them then. But you'll see. Here we go.
If he doesn't heed that warning, if he does start to name names, if he did have recordings of people having sex with underage girls, powerful people, then, you know, he's going to get taken out. The feds are the biggest mafia. The CIA is the biggest mafia. These people don't mess around. He is completely expendable, and he's probably being warned right now that he will be taken out.
So there you have it. That was on the back of Epstein's arrest. That was the first video I did on the Epstein case. And then within weeks, it played out exactly as I had described in that video. I mean, it's a mystery to this day. Nobody knows exactly what happened. And that's why I'm going to go over to my Who Killed Epstein book now, because it's got some of the finer details. And we can compare that to Diddy's situation. But in summary, if you have the goods on some of the most powerful people in the world, there's an untouchable class of people. And they include the Queen's favorite son. They include the Clinton crime family. If you've got anything on that class of people, heaven help you, you are as expendable as Jeffrey. So here's what I wrote in my Who Killed Epstein book. And you will see the parallels with Diddy being on suicide watch, etc. Is he on the same trajectory as Jeffrey? So it was July 6, 2019. Jeffrey was arrested at New Jersey's Teterboro Airport following a trip to France. During a raid on his mansion, the FBI found nude pics, including images of teenage girls. Absolute sicko, scumbag. Charged with sex, I'm going to say transportation and conspiracy to transport minors for beep. He offered to pay a $100 million bail bond. So we've got Diddy. People were flabbergasted. He offered $50 million. It got refused. Epstein offered $600 million, which was denied because the judge deemed him a flight risk, an acute danger to the community, and a threat to the witnesses. So with his case under scrutiny, his former protectors, including Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton, whom he had attempted to compromise in a honey trap scheme, I believe, through interviews with Ryan Dawson, and Whitney Webb, etc. We're trying to get Ryan Dawson on in about a week to do a Diddy deep dive. So how high up are the people that Diddy may have recorded? Did these people attend these parties? Are they at risk of being compromised? Are any of these people in the untouchable class of royals of the Clinton crime family? This is a major factor as to whether Diddy is going to survive his incarceration. Let me continue. So his former protectors, Jeffries, began to pull away. Facing a life sentence, he hoped to win a double jeopardy motion or to cut a deal with the prosecutor who would have required naming his accomplices. Again, is Diddy going to squeal? What tier of names is he going to squeal on? Has he got some low-level fall guy names? Or is he going to go right to the top? The prosecutors may want him to go right to the top, but that's where you put your life on the line. So as Jeffrey's legal difficulties multiplied, so did the risk to his powerful co-conspirators, which is why right now we're hearing all these execs to do with Diddy scrambling to protect themselves. Twitter posts getting deleted, etc. Diddy's legal difficulties are multiplying every day. More people coming in, etc. Accusing him of the R word and transportation. And as that parabolic rise occurs, so does the risk to co-conspirators. So we're going to get, we'll do more, we'll do a series on this probably and take a look at who are the upper tier co-conspirators. All right, so if the activity was documented in court, certain government agencies would be forced to take act. Correct. So Jeffrey had to be eliminated. So it was August the 3rd, 2019, just over 5 years ago. I posted a video on YouTube. Has Bill Clinton scheduled Jeffrey for prison death to cover up Lolita scandal? What a title. I stated that Jeffrey would be killed and it would probably be made to look like a suicide. On August 10th, 2019, the news reported that he had died. Now, there's the hanging method, but the most common method I'm aware of is the hot shot. Where I was housed in Arizona on my ecstasy case, 90% of the prisoners were injecting heroin. I'll call it the brown for the purpose of this video. If you're injecting the brown, you're taking your life into your own hands every time you do that. And periodically, people just OD. And there's no further investigation. And we've heard about this happening with snitches and things like that. So that is quite a common method of killing people to make it look like they did it to themselves, a drugs overdose. There's obviously, you know, the way they did Jeffrey, and there's a variety of ways of doing it as well, like that. I've done videos with Neil Samworth, the former prison guard, everything from the crocodile roll off the bunk with the thing tied around you, to using the toilet flusher and leaning back with the thing tied around you, and then you just get found dead. Yeah, quite sad that a lot of people do that. But they can do that to you and leave you looking like that. And they just think it was suicide when you were suicided. All right, so just 10 days before his death on July 23rd, an incident happened that suggested his time was limited. In the Metropolitan Corrections Center, Jeffrey was found unconscious with injuries to his neck. He'd been assigned a cellmate called Nicholas Tartaglione, a muscle-bound ex-cop turned gangster accused of killing four men in his brother's bar after a drug deal soured. Facing the death penalty, Tartaglione had access to the outside world through an illegal cell phone. Under normal circumstances, sex offenders would never be housed with murderers and gangsters because the convict code dictates that they would be killed on site KOS. Epstein complained to one of his lawyers that he had been attacked by Tartaglione. Naturally, when questioned by investigators, his cellmate denied having had anything to do with the injuries. Whatever prevented the first attempt on his life, Jeffrey was placed on suicide watch, as we are seeing right now with Diddy. Now, there are various reasons you can be placed on suicide watch. For example, I'd been incarcerated for almost 6 years on my ecstasy case. It wasn't a case of me just getting released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. I had to go to a federal deportation prison. When I got to the federal deportation prison, I went from living in cells to being in these warehouse-style dorms. And there's nothing like having your own cell. So I was a little bit savvy about playing the system at that point. So when I was asked my screening questions by a nurse, and the nurse was cool with it, she was on my side, I said to her, "What have I got to say to get my own cell?" And she just said, "You know, have you had any mental health issues, blah, blah, blah." And we decided I was going to say I was seeing imaginary cockroaches and hearing voices. And she said, "What they'll do is they'll put you in a suicide watch cell for a couple of days. And if you don't act up, then you'll get your own cell," which is exactly what happened for me. And it worked. I was playing the system. And when I got my own cell, they tried to put me on risperidone because they said I was bipolar with schizophrenic side effects because I'd made up this story about the cockroaches and hearing voices. And I just had to spit it out and avoid taking it so I could keep my my own cell. But yeah, so there's a plethora of reasons. You are asked screening questions when you go in, and depending upon your answers, they may ascertain that you need to be put on suicide watch. They may also ascertain that you need to be put on suicide watch because of the amount of time you are facing. And if you look at his charges, he's got weapons with defaced serial numbers, which is a heavy duty charge, I believe. All of the sexual transportation stuff, the R word stuff. If he goes to trial, they could stack all these things up to dozens of years, if not triple digits. So he is facing life, which does qualify someone to go into a suicide watch cell. They usually put you in the suicide watch cell right after you are sentenced to big numbers. I saw people, they go to court, get 25 years, bam, right away they take him off to the suicide watch cell. They may have put him in the suicide watch cell just to keep him separate from all of the other inmates because it is such a high-profile case. Yes, Kaza. So, Kaza's just asked me about the 8 o'clock stream that we're doing. Would you believe it that the guy who's coming on at 8, Chris Todd, has written the unauthorized book about the woman that has blown the whistle on Diddy? And everyone in the world are trying to interview him right now. We had him scheduled to come on about Kurt. Yeah, he is going to do Kurt, but he's going to give us exclusives from this book on the Diddy story. So, yeah, sit tight for 8. We will. This stream will end, and we'll go right over to that. But let me continue with what we're talking about, Jeffrey versus Diddy. All right, whatever prevented the first attempt on Jeffrey's life, he's placed on suicide watch. On July 29th, he was removed from suicide watch and put in a special housing unit with another cellmate. Every 30 minutes, a guard was supposed to check on him. Yeah, if you're in suicide watch, they come and look through the flap in the door, you know, quite regularly to make sure you're not doing anything. The suicide watch cell I was in was stripped out of everything. You can't, there's nothing in there you can access to do any harm to yourself. So the guard was supposed to check on him. The night before his murder, August 9th, his cellmate was conveniently removed. The cameras monitoring the area malfunctioned, and the guards on duty had supposedly fallen asleep or been so engrossed in online shopping that they were oblivious to the man dying a short distance from the guard station. If you look at the records of the jail, two guards have never fallen asleep simultaneously in the Metropolitan Correctional Center since its inception in the 1970s. Go figure. We're supposed to believe this. Didn't. There was no conspiracy. All right, so the two guards, Tova Noel, 31, and Michael Thomas, 41, were later charged with falsifying records and conspiracy because for 8 hours from 10:30 p.m. on August the 9th to 6:30 a.m. on August the 10th, they had not gone to his cell door. How convenient. The indictment against the guards stated they sat at their desks, browsed online, and moved about the common area for a substantial portion of their shift instead of completing the required checks. Noel and Thomas allegedly appeared to be asleep at their desks for about 2 hours. Noel used her computer to search for furniture sales and benefit websites during her shift. Thomas allegedly searched online for motorcycle sales and sports news briefly at 1 a.m., 4 a.m., and 6 a.m. The pair were only 15 feet away from Jeffrey when he died. 15 feet away. And they didn't know what was going down. Come on now. They found him dead when they went to serve his breakfast at 6:30 a.m. The last time they had checked on him was 10:30 p.m. the night before. Noel allegedly told a supervisor, "We did not complete the 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. rounds." Thomas added, "We messed up. I messed up. She's not to blame. We didn't do any rounds." According to Nick Tartaglione's lawyer, nobody heard anything. It was a silent act. The autopsy revealed that various neck bones had been fractured, including the hyoid, which most medical experts commenting on the case have stated is more common in homicide than suicide. Life is cheap in prison. A small amount of dope can get someone killed. And to get away with a professional hit, the victim would have to die in a way that would look like suicide. So two of the most common ways are hanging and hot shot. Guards have killed prisoners. Have been known to rope somebody up after they've killed them. Gang members often employ the hot shot because a prisoner found overdosed on the brown appears to be just another dead heroin addict, which requires no further investigation. In 2008, teenager Ronnie White, who was charged with killing a cop, was found dead in a Washington jail. After medical examiner found a broken hyoid, the cause of death was changed from suicide to homicide. The examiners suspected that he had been strangled with a sheet towel or the crux of an elbow. The guard who had moved his body was found guilty of obstruction, but no charges were filed for his murder. In 2013, a federal judge declared the cause of death a mystery, which is the official version of Jeffrey. It is actually that Jeffrey killed himself. That has not been revised. One of the lawyers representing victims of Jeffrey, Spencer Coovin, spoke to a staff member at the jail and told the media, "I received a call from a supervisor at the MCC, which is the jail he was held in. The first words out of his mouth, to be honest, were, 'Don't believe what you are hearing in regards to Epstein's death.' I had a lengthy conversation with him about the issue of security within MCC, and he gave me a fairly detailed description of the interior of the jail, which led me to believe that he was credible. He told me how the SHU, Special Housing Unit, where Mr. Epstein was kept, was basically designed to be a jail within the jail. And then there was a separate, even more secure unit inside the SHU where the highest value targets were kept. So this is where they will be shuffling Diddy around into these inner bowels of the jail, keeping him away from the general population. But also, if they want access, to take him out, because someone from the untouchable class, Clintons, etc., has been compromised, they'll have easy access to him. Because the feds, like I said 5 years ago about Jeffrey, it's the biggest mafia. So he told me how the shoot Epstein was designed to be within a jail within a jail. And there was a separate, even more secure unit inside the SHU, the highest value targets. Every square inch of that place is covered by cameras, and it was designed that way because of super high value targets that are kept there, such as terrorists, dealers, and other extremely high-value targets are suspects like Epstein. If reports that there is no CCTV are true, it would mean they'd either shut the cameras off or they were not functioning in some way. He says there's no way that they would not have been able to see what was going on. What my source found very suspicious was that his cellmate was pulled the day before. The purpose of a cellmate for someone who either was on suicide watch is to notify guards if something is happening. So the fact that they pull the cellmate is not only one level above negligent, it also appears intentional. Really, he should have been on suicide watch. Not only was he not on suicide watch, they pulled the one person that could have notified guards if something untoward was about to occur. It was almost as though they did it so that no one could see what was going to happen the following day. So if you're in suicide watch or not, they can get you. They can get you anywhere. In fact, if you're on suicide watch, you're probably not even going to have a cellmate, which makes it all the easier for them to get you. I don't know what Diddy's status is, whether he's got a cellmate right now, but I'm going to come back tomorrow night and we're going to continue the coverage of this story. I can see there's a lot of interest in it. Put a one in the chat if you want me to do a deep dive into Diddy. And I'm going to start the deep dive into Diddy by going over now to the second stream of the night with Chris Todd, whose book has just gone mega viral about the woman who's blowing the whistle on Diddy. The claims are going to come out. And he said he's going to drop bombshells, exclusive bombshells right now on this channel. So stay tuned for Chris Todd. You will be customized over automatically from this video to the next one. So hang in there, folks. There's
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.